Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and for those that have been coming in and trying to have as normal of a service as possible from the platform. And that's what you're viewing. You're viewing the platform. We want to make sure that we have the music that you is a blessing to your hearts and lives. Want to make sure that we are singing congregational songs that you're used to. And I've been preparing just as I would normally for the auditorium, and possibly even being mindful of there's more people that'll be viewing every service than what we're possibly even able to get into the auditorium. And so it's something that we have been preparing for. But there's nothing like the assembling of ourselves together. You just lose out on so much. I know, praise the Lord for being able to see it on your devices, whether it be the television or your computers. But being in the auditorium, being in the house of the Lord, is just something special about that. And we need it. I know I need it, and I trust that you feel the same way. And so we do want things to get back to as normal as possible, as soon as possible, and we're praying toward that end. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you look with me to the in the book of Mark in chapter 16, Wednesday nights we've been studying on the life of the Apostle Peter, the life of the Apostle Peter, from Peter's salvation, and then as he started, as Jesus called him to follow him, to make him fishers of men, he's been called to be one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that will really be important as we get into the apostolic age in the book of Acts. But here in the Gospels, where we've been lately, we're studying on Peter's being discipled by Jesus himself. Peter is being discipled as all of us need to be discipled, and we need to be discipled by those that are representing Jesus Christ so that we would follow Jesus Christ and not the discipler. But they, if you're discipling somebody, you want to teach them about Jesus Christ and get them to follow him. And so this is what's taken place with Peter, is he has been discipled by Jesus. Now we are addressing things in the gospel through the eyes of Peter. And you might have never done that before. And so it might be get a little bit different look at things, and maybe the Word of God can speak to you a little bit more as you look through the eyes of the Apostle Peter. We studied, and we've been studying the last few weeks, the worst night of Peter's life, the worst night of Peter's life and all the things that happened that night. It led up to Peter's denial of even knowing Jesus as his Lord, and he denied him three times before that was over. And then after that, we find that it led to Peter's repentance. And once he denied him the last time, then he actually viewed Jesus and he remembered exactly what Jesus had tried to prepare him for and told him that he would deny him three times before the cock would crow twice. And so we find that that took place. And then the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Peter's great sorrow led him to leave the crowd that he was with, and the Bible says that he wept bitterly. And so that's where we ended last week. Now if you'll stand, we're going to be reading here Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. Yeah, if you don't get too comfortable on the couch there, and so you might nod off. We want you to stand when we stand and sing when we sing and get the songbooks out. And try to focus on being here. I'm trying to focus as if you are here, and you from your homes and in your living rooms, try to focus as if you are in the auditorium. And so I trust that when you do that, you will put other things out of your mind and think about what God has for us through the message of the preaching of the Word of God. But Mark chapter 16, let's start reading in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre as at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, and they walked and went into the country. And we'll go ahead and stop right there at this time, and let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the truth of your word. And as we studied here in this passage of Mark, when it reveals the resurrection, it also reveals some things about what was going on with Peter and the other disciples. And so I pray that you'd give us the insight we have need of tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, after Peter's great sorrow, after the cock crew and he realized what Jesus had said to him, he left there and he wept bitterly. So he left the crowd that he was with for the next 3 days and nights. Now think about this. For the next 3 days and nights, in the midst of the Jewish Passover celebration, Peter would have to live with the guilt of what he had done. There's not much recorded of that. There was 3 days, and then we find Peter at with the disciples and the resurrection, and how that the angel sends the ladies and Mary in particular to go and to tell Peter and the other disciples that Jesus had risen. But there was 3 days there, 3 days and three nights, that Peter was possibly weeping bitterly. Those 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't know about you, but I think back in my life, and there's been times as a Christian I have failed my Lord and have done some things that I would regret. And after I come under conviction, and I would feel very sorrowful for what I did, and that is part of repentance. There has to be a sorrow for your sin, and then there has to be a desire to ask Jesus to forgive you for that sin and to forsake that in the way that I never want to do that again. And if you've ever been there, by the time that you have come under the conviction and you get back into serving God, there's a lot of things that can cross your mind when you failed the Lord. Peter's thoughts could have been, how do I make this right? How do I right the wrong that I've just done? Is there any way that I can make amends for this? Is there any way that I can make restitution for this? Those thoughts would come into your mind as a born-again believer if you have failed in your Christian life and done something that you would come under conviction for and want to confess and forsake, as Peter would have. I believe that's part of some of the thinking. Maybe a thought would be, do I have a future in serving Christ, or will it all be about what I've just done? Will my past control my future? Because of my sin and my failures, Will I ever be able to overcome it? It might even come to the place where your thoughts would be, is my life worth salvaging? I've done such great, committed such great sin that I don't know that I could ever be used again. See, the difference here between Judas and Peter, Judas had those very same thoughts. But Judas had not received Jesus as a Savior. And Judas could not get over what he had done. And he never repented to Christ. He repented in his own heart. But without Christ present, he went out and hung himself. He committed suicide. And sometimes we can have an over sorrow. And having more sorrow than what we're able to bear, it's hard to move on with our lives because of some of the mistakes and failures that we've done. Peter might have thought, is my life worth salvaging? So that brings us to where we're at tonight, because the next scripture that is giving to us, the next insight into the Bible concerning Peter is found here. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter needed to understand two things. First, Jesus was alive. And second, Peter was still one of his disciples. Now, I love that because, can I tell you, that's two things that all of us need to know today. No matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what kind of coronavirus you're facing tonight and how it has turned your lives upside down, and it has everybody's. Everybody is just still kind of in a fog, not really understanding, not knowing what tomorrow holds and how this is all going to pan out, what we're going to look like another 6 months down the road, what our finances will look like, what our church services will look like, what our society, what the United States, is there going to be a war with China? Whatever it might be, there's so many unknowns. And if you focus on all the unknowns and everything else that's going on in your life, listen to me, it could be overwhelming. Peter could have been overwhelmed by what he did in denying the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly. And all these thoughts had been running through the mind of Peter. But what God gives to Peter is what you and I need to know as well, is no matter what's taken place in this life, Jesus is alive. I love that. He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. I can go to him at any point. He is very much alive, and he's ever living to make intercession for me, no matter what failures that I have fallen to, what sins I've committed. I can, as long as I have a genuine repentance and a forsaking of that sin, he is able and he will forgive me of that sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Because he's alive, and he's ever living to make intercession. No matter what I have to face, he's ever living to make intercession for me. He's alive. And if I'm saved, I'm saved. Peter was still one of his disciples. Nothing could take that away from him. Yeah. That means if long as I have life and breath, there's purpose. There's purpose, and God will continue to work through. Now, I might have forfeited rights to certain areas of ministry and certain things in life, but listen to me, my life has meaning. And God continues to want to work through my life, and there are many things that we can continue to accomplish no matter what our past failures are. We do have a future in Christ because we're still his disciples. So, Mark chapter 16 and verse 6, And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Yeah, we know that. We've seen him die. He's risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell the disciples. But I love this. In Mark's writing, God inspired him to use Peter's name. Because he knew that Peter was probably suffering the most. He knew that Peter was possibly more apt to be his worst enemy. Sometimes the more dedicated we are to Christ, we can be our worst enemies and forgiving ourselves for what we've done. To go on to serve the Lord and accomplish what God has for us yet to accomplish. And so I believe that Peter, he would play a key role in the apostolic age, and we understand that. We know that now. Peter did not know it then. But I guarantee you, when they went, they said that we're to tell all the disciples, but then they would have stopped and said, and especially you, Peter. Jesus wanted you to know he's alive. That's good. Yeah. After Peter's worst night, 3 days and three nights later would be his best morning. His best morning. When he would realize, even though I denied him, and he was crucified, but he's alive. Yeah. Without this truth, everything else would be meaningless in a Christian's life. Without this truth that Jesus is alive, where's our faith? Now, I love that because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul would write to the church of believers at Corinth. Look there with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 12. Paul writes, he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead, or that he didn't resurrect? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. It's empty. It's worthless. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And then in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Don't let anybody blind you to the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. Because if we know and if we believe our faith is in Christ being risen from the grave, then everything that he taught is true. Everything that we have been taught and given us as far as the promises in this life are true. Everything that we have been given to us concerning the future in a heaven is true. Listen to me, when we understand this truth that Jesus is alive, it'll help you in any and every situation that you face. No matter how terrible it might seem, if Jesus is alive, there's hope. If Jesus is alive, then we are more than conquerors through him. If Jesus is alive, then we have the truth that we all need and hold on to. Rejoice because Jesus is alive. That's what the angel's message to Peter was. Rejoice, Peter. Stop beating yourself up. Jesus is alive. Peter's response. Now, if we break it down in the Gospels, we look at the different ones in the chronological order. His response to that found in Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24 and verse 11. When they heard this, the disciples that were there and Peter, the Bible says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Even though they wanted to believe them, there was something there that just said, it's impossible for anybody to resurrect from the dead. And so they were still somewhat, Satan still had them blinded to that. But then it says right here, then arose Peter. Because the angel said, and Mary came back and she said, the angel said for me to tell you specifically, Peter, that he resurrected. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, Peter ran into the sepulcher. If somebody had stolen the body away, and we're going to see that's what one of the lies was, would they have taken the time to unravel his linen clothes and neatly put them and leave them there? Do you think anybody's going to steal the body? Is going to want to carry a unclothed body that had already been at least 3 days in the tomb? They're not going to steal a body that way. They're not going to take the grave clothes and put them back. The only way that happened is if Jesus just kind of resurrected through them. The body just come up out of them. Yeah. And Peter thought about that, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Yeah. Peter needed to understand Jesus is alive. The truth of the resurrection is in the empty tomb. Satan's attack upon biblical truth. Can I tell you that you're always going to have to fight off doubt? Because Satan is a liar. He's a father of lies. He will try to penetrate your mind with doubt on every level concerning the truths of the Bible. Matthew chapter 28. So what was that doubt? What was the lie? What did Satan automatically, right from the very beginning, what did he bring in there to try to place doubt upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 28, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Told him about the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, and the linen laying there without the body. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now God's got that recorded for us. He recorded that in Matthew's account so that we'll understand the devil's going to try to place doubt in our hearts and our minds concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Concerning the fact that Jesus is alive. If you lose sight of the fact that Jesus is alive, you're more apt to live in sin. You're more apt to turn away from God. You're more apt to give up on yourself. Jesus is alive. Satan cannot change truth, but he can blind man to it if you'll allow him. He couldn't change the truth that Jesus resurrected from the grave. But he could use the teachings of man to blind man to it. You see, the teachings of any man should never be allowed to blind us to God's truths. So many are listening to humanistic philosophies, and they're reading books written by men who claim to have received truth from angels. And they've based entire religions on man's writing. Listen to me. Oh, how we need to stay focused on the Word of God. Stay focused on the Bible. Beginning with the greatest truth of all. Jesus is alive. He is alive. Yeah. The second thing that Peter would need to know. The first thing is that Jesus is alive. The second thing would be Peter was still one of Jesus' disciples. There again, if you go back in our text, Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going to meet with you as he said. As if you'd have been paying attention, Peter, way back when, you would have known that he told you he would meet with you after he resurrected. Jesus knew that Peter would fail. It's never God's will for us to sin, but God knows our weaknesses and God knows when we are going to fail. Never God's will, but God is very much aware of it. And he would know that Peter would repent. Matthew chapter 26, and verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. So it's already been written down. I know that you're going to do this because it's written down. It was prophesied that this would happen. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. That's what the angel told the ladies to go back and make sure that Peter understood that. Because Jesus had already taught him that. Because Jesus knew that Peter, you were going to fail. But at the same time, he knew that Peter would repent of what he had done. And he says, after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter didn't listen. He was trying to instruct Jesus on what he was to say. If he'd have listened. But now, go back and listen. Now go back to the Word of God and study it to understand how you need to respond to it. Because you're still one of Jesus' disciples, he knows exactly what's taking place in our lives. Peter would repent because Peter was saved. Peter would repent because Peter was one of his disciples. He had been blinded to his faith, but he had never lost his faith. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I trust you're following me. I know that the baby's probably crying right now, and there's a lot of other things going on, but don't get away from the television. Don't get away from your device. Listen here. Let's get a hold of this. This is good stuff. It'll help you. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, and this is the record, what God has recorded, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God has given to you, if you're saved, eternal life. If God's given to you eternal life and you didn't do anything to earn it, you can't do anything to lose it. It's a gift that you have because God gave it to you. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have life. You have everlasting life. You cannot lose that based upon the words that God has revealed to us, the Scriptures, the Bible. It's not what the Baptists believe. It's what God, the Bible, teaches. And because that's what the Bible teaches, it's what Baptists believe. I'm not following any religion. I'm not following any man. I'm following after what thus saith the Lord. And the Bible says that if you have Jesus, and Peter still had him because he believed him to be the Messiah, he had received him as his Savior, he'd been following him to be made a fisher of men, he never lost that. He just was blinded to it. And Jesus knew he would be blinded to it. But he also knew that he would repent of it. The Bible says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God says, I want you to know that. When you get blinded to it, get back into the light of God's word and get back to understanding the Scriptures and what Jesus has written to us and what he has taught us, and hold on to the fact that once you're saved, you're saved. Once you have been a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Peter, Jesus is alive, and yes, you are still one of his disciples. It's important for him to know that. That was evidence. Evident was Peter's repentance. The second evidence of Peter was he left the wrong crowd. He couldn't feel secure in the crowd of those who wanted to crucify Jesus. He didn't feel comfortable in the crowd that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't want to stay in the crowd that rejected the truth. Praise the Lord for that. If you can stay in that crowd and get comfortable with that crowd and rejoice with that crowd and do things with that crowd, that's probably an indication you're not saved. But when you're in that crowd and you're coming under conviction of everything that that crowd is doing and you're a part of it and you have to get out of it, that's a good indication that you probably are saved. Peter left the wrong crowd, and he sought out the other 10. In those 3 days, he left that crowd, but you know where you find Peter? Locked up with the other 10. They're still crying, they're still mourning, and they don't understand it all. They're going through some tough time, but they're going through it together. When you're saved, I think you want to be around others of like faith. You want to be around others that have the same kind of thinking that you have. That's the evidence of salvation. That's the crowd that I want to be around. And that's why we get so much out of assembling ourselves together. When we assemble ourselves together and we look around and we say, this is the crowd I want to identify with. These are God-loving believers. These are those that believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They know he's alive and they are his disciples. There's something about being around believers, even when believers are struggling. Yeah. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. They were together, and Jesus met with them. And the Bible says, and then were the disciples glad. Because now all their doubt would leave them. All of the blinders that Satan would have put on them was gone over. Because now they see with their own eyes that Jesus is alive. They see him. He invites them to touch his nail-scarred hands in his side. The Bible says, and they were glad. The only one that was not there at that particular time was Thomas. And he still would not believe. And then he got back, and the second time that Jesus met with him, he was there, and he fell down in belief and worship without having to touch Jesus. Peter left the wrong crowd, sought after the right crowd. And lastly tonight, go back with me to Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24. Jesus would do something for Peter. Luke in chapter 24 and verse 36 down to verse 45. But what I want to show you is here is found in verse 44. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Jesus would open Peter's understanding to all that he had experienced and to what was to come. Opening our understanding to our past, to what's going on now, and what kind of future we have to look forward to. It's all in understanding the scriptures. Everything in our lives comes down to understanding the scriptures. No matter what's going on, no matter what we're facing, we need to understand the scriptures and believe the scriptures that Jesus is alive. And as Jesus is alive, I am one of his disciples. And he has given to me, he has preserved for me that which I have need of that will help me to understand my past, my present, and my future. Do you understand the scriptures? Do you understand the scriptures as we have need to understand the scriptures? With that said, Peter would go on to accomplish some great and mighty things for the cause of Christ in the apostolic age. What a blessing. The two things that Peter needed to know: Jesus is alive, and you're still his disciple. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I trust at home you've listened and you've taken in the message tonight from the life of Peter. There's a lot of help there. There really is. And I trust that I was able to present it in a way that God used it to speak to you. After you hear the Word of God preached, truths have been revealed. Many times there's a need of making decisions. And that's why we have an altar call here at the church. We give people an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to them about. If God spoke to you through the message tonight, it might be that he has brought you to the awareness that you need to get saved. If that's true, then you can get saved tonight. You can bow before the Lord, who is very much aware of where you're at and what's going on in your life, and simply call upon the name of the Lord. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess your belief in Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sin, to come into your heart and to save you. He'll do that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need any help at all to understand that, we invite you to call the church. We want to help you. Church family, if God spoke to you, maybe you're harder on yourself than what you need to be. Maybe you're beating yourself up too much. Let's get back to looking to Jesus for cleansing and for that second chance, for that help to be able to accomplish what he has us here to accomplish. If you still have breath in your lungs, if you still have a beating heart, God has a purpose for your life. Make a decision. Father, we bow before you. I love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd help us to make the decision if we need to make one. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.